You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.
I'm Kathy Davidson, and I have probably the longest title on earth. I'm the John Hope Franklin Humanities Institute Professor of Interdisciplinary Studies and the Ruth F. DeVarney Professor of English and the CARTEC, which is an acronym that stands for Humanities, Arts, Science, Technology, Advanced Collaboratory. But everyone just says Haystack.
Wow. Well, thank you for giving up your time.
Did we take our 10 minutes with my title?
Yeah, that's 10 minutes up. But I'd love to ask you, let's kick off a question, which is why we're speaking today, which is about the Digital Media and Learning Competition. And that's linked with the MacArthur Foundation. So if you could tell us about that award and why it exists.
The Digital Media and Learning Competition is the first open call competition that the MacArthur Foundation has ever staged in the United States. And this is a tactic they're using as part of their $50 million Digital Media and Learning initiative. Other funds so far, that started last year, other funds so far are used to targeted projects that they've heard about through either people coming to them or hearing about them from their board of trustees or a large network of people who work in digital media. But in one of the conversations, they decided, what if we had an open call competition to find out what we haven't thought of before? And what if we left it rather open-ended so we get as many different kinds of responses from as many different kinds of people as possible? So that was phase one. Phase two was kind of more daring even than deciding to just leave something pretty open-ended. And that was they decided to have a virtual institution, what we like to call a virtual university, run it. Haystack doesn't exist in any kind of Web 1.0 conventional sense. We don't have a board of trustees. We don't have officers. You become a member of Haystack by going onto the website, registering, and contributing. It's a very loose organization. We do projects together. We identify projects. We are a network. But we really don't have a standard organization. So for MacArthur, with all of its history and its prestige and education, to run its first ever open competition and have a virtual institution do it already signaled a change.
So tell us a bit about how the award breaks down, because I know there's one called the Innovation Award and then the other one called Knowledge Networking Awards, and they both have different pots of money assigned to them, don't they?
Yes. The Innovation Awards are the biggest, and we assume those will be mostly collaborative awards. And those are for people who are taking ideas about digital media and learning and actually translating them into a thing, something that actually works. It might be a new game or a new application of a game. It might be some major social networking activity like MySpace or Facebook turned into something that's educational, both for formal or informal learnings. But we assume that for those awards, people will be having some kind of investment and invention that involves software, hardware, as well as large social networks of people. So those we think of as large-scale projects. The second group of projects, the knowledge networking projects, are quite different. We're convinced that, in fact, there's lots of great technology out there, and there's lots of great research out there that nobody knows about. You know, there was that whole idea at the first wave of the information age that if you build it, they will come. And when the bubble burst, the dot-com bubble burst, it was because people built a lot of things, and it wasn't necessarily the case that people actually came. So for the Knowledge Networking Awards, we're taking people who are very, very good at communication, like media snackers or bloggers or people who know how to communicate, and basically saying, what's some great idea, great research project, great tool, great software, great hardware that you know about that you feel the world needs to know about, and use all of your networking and communication skills to get that to the right audience. And that means either to a new target audience or to translate something that might be too academic or somehow communicate that.
And tell us about, I know we talked briefly before this interview, I know you're starting to get calls and interest, and give us an idea or flavor of some of these kind of issues that these entries are starting to think about or looking to tackle or just to take on head first.
You know, I'm very, very concerned about privacy issues, so I don't want to say anything that might give away a project. But, for example, we have somebody I'm going to try to disguise this as much as possible, which is a shame. I've got a good example. Somebody wants to create a new kind of game to teach Native American languages to Native American kids who no longer speak those languages, but who are very, very interested in them. And many of these languages are quite complex. So this is both a grammar, but it's also a motivational tool to get kids to learn Native American languages, and especially to communicate with other kids and other tribes who speak language families. So in fact, some languages you can communicate across dialects and variations on the language, but these kids might not have necessarily met one another before, and this would be a massive multiplayer online kind of game that would also be a language teaching game, but also, more important, a social networking and cultural communication game.
Wow.
That's one of the ones we heard about. That's pretty cool. Mm. We've heard something else having to do with young kids interviewing very old, and again, I'm going to disguise some of the features here, but some very old African-Americans who were famous under segregation, most of whom are dying out now as a generation, but who have stories to tell about the independent sports and other kinds of businesses that were there under segregation. But again, this is somebody who wants young kids talking to very old people, and then figuring out podcasting, blogging, other ways to communicate this to other kids their age. So it's a way of keeping a tradition alive, a multi-generational tradition, and looking for new forms of media to preserve oral history.
Well, that sounds exciting, and I was listening to that. I was just thinking, damn, I wish we were based in America, because one of the problems with this, it's not a problem, it's just that's how it worked out, is that only U.S. citizens can apply for this. Is that right?
This year, the PI on the grant, the principal investigator, the person who actually gets the money and is going to be responsible for keeping the budget and dispersing it, has to be either a U.S. citizen or somebody who has tax-exempt or tax status in the U.S. And that's purely because we mounted the competition quickly and we couldn't work out the very, very complex international financial issues that have risen in global culture, especially in the U.S. since 9/11. Mm. We're hoping next year that we'll, in fact, be able to go international.
Wow, that's going to be exciting for us.
It's very exciting.
And tell us about, I know you've touched on some of the ideas there, but what wider than that, then, what do you think the scope, or what do you think some of the issues are going to come back that you've already kind of thought about, actually, yeah, it'd be great for someone to tackle that area?
One issue, and I just blogged about this over the weekend on my, I have a blog on the Haystack website called Cat in the Stack, I just blog about all kinds of media issues. And one thing I talked about this weekend was the difference between what we're calling digital learning and what is normally called IT, or instructional technology. In instructional technology, it's usually top-down. Some teacher administrator devises a technology that they think will help educate people, but they think they know what education is to begin with. So it's suppliers giving a tool to the supplied. What we're trying to stress with digital learning is we don't know what the goal of education is, but we know that people can contribute together. We're looking for a much more collaborative, accreted, networked, ongoing kind of education, where the end product is not the issue. The product is the process. What we're really concerned about is all the different ways this can be modified, customized by the individual users. And those users will be actually modifying the technology, not just the content of the technology.
Mm, that does sound the better way. The process, focus on the process rather than the outcome.
Exactly. And we believe that if you focus on the process, you're going to have a much better outcome.
Of course, yeah. So to wrap this interview up, I want to ask you about the sustainability of future plans. You've already touched on it in terms of hoping to open up the award system. But in a year's time, what are you hoping to achieve? And then what are you hoping to achieve beyond this year?
Well, what we're hoping to achieve, and we're already starting to achieve it, is new networks of people thinking together about these issues. So the MacArthur Foundation and Haystack really see this as jump-starting new collaborative relationships that we hope will be sustained long, long beyond the after the competition. So even though we just launched on Tuesday of last week, 6 days ago, we've already seen online people who don't know each other but who have similar ideas thinking about working together. And we've seen people saying things like, hey, we can do this for the competition, but what about if we do this? And then talking about something else they can do that has nothing to do with the competition. So we believe the sustainability will be because great smart people who have great ideas gravitate to one another, and they will work together, and there will be a sustainability that happens beyond the competition.
Exciting times then for you guys to go through. I can just imagine sitting down with all them application forms.
It's already exciting beyond our wildest dreams. We're delighted.
Well, hopefully we will get you back in that year's time, and we will be talking about what the outcomes have been for you guys, and what ideas have been shared and funded. And it's going to be exciting just to watch this this adventure flow, in a sense.
Thank you so much, and thanks for being part of it right at the beginning, DK. Appreciate it.
Thank you for giving up your time.
Take care.
You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.